City of Destruction, an audio drama by JesusForSinners.com, Episode 10.
Efficiency group together.
They're already in place and should have a preliminary target date for their first report by the end of the month.
Wow, that's quick.
Well, Bob, you said trimming the bloated city government was one of your top priorities. That's what I've been spending most of my time on.
You're incredible, Madeline. I don't know what I'd do without you. I bet you're glad to have this campaign behind us.
You can say that again.
I told you we'd make it through. Madeline, we did it. Can you believe this? City Council President, we've come a long way.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't sound very excited, Madeline. What's wrong?
I don't know. I'm probably just tired. We've been pretty busy since the inauguration.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to leverage the momentum we had from the election to push as much of our agenda forward as possible. We got a huge mandate from the people of the city. That's going to make it a lot easier to get our programs through the city council.
Yep, I know. It's a good strategy.
After this initial push, you should take a couple of weeks off. Rest. Go someplace nice with Jared. Just relax and think about anything else besides politics.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I've had a lot on my mind lately.
Madeline, the campaign's over. We won. You can relax a little.
I know. But I can't stop thinking about some of the things that went on during the campaign. Some of the people. I noticed there's already a gay rights bill moving through the city council.
Huh. Oh yeah, that. Well, it's just to ensure non-discrimination in housing and employment. The groups that supported us want to see that one passed. They've got momentum. They're trying to leverage too, Madeline.
I know. Politics. But Bob, what does that mean for property owners who don't want to rent to people whose lifestyle they have a moral objection to? I mean, property owners have the right to not rent to unmarried couples.
I don't know a lot of people who have a problem renting to gay people.
You used to, Bob.
Is this the Christian thing again?
The Christian thing?
You know what I'm talking about, Madeline. I know you weren't pleased about my positions on certain issues during the campaign. I'm not sure what happened to you, but these Christians seem to have really gotten to you somehow.
Gotten to me? Bob, please tell me you didn't support these people all these years just because you wanted their votes. Please tell me that, at least at some point, you actually believed the things you said.
Listen, Madeline, I've given this city a big chunk of my life. I've represented these people the best way I knew how. I fought for them. I supported them. And I'm in a new position now to help them. They've got someone who's on their side in the most powerful position in the city.
And who's them, Bob? We're not talking about the Christians anymore.
Hey, I represent all the people of the city. I told you I can't hold back progress in order to cater to a very small minority of people who might not like everything I do. This legislation is good policy. Come on, Madeline, how can you be against equal rights?
So, will a business owner have to hire a transgender person, even if that violates their religious beliefs?
If the transgender person is the most qualified, then yes.
Oh, Bob, come on. You know how those things go. You're opening the door to mountains of litigation. If a gay person or transgender person applies for a job and doesn't get it, then they'll sue and claim discrimination. If a business doesn't have any openly gay or transgender employees, it'll be even easier to claim discrimination. The lawsuits alone will either 1, bankrupt the company, or 2, keep them from hiring the people they need.
Isn't that a little extreme, Madeline?
Give me a break, Bob. You know how these activists are. They're always looking for targets to sue in order to force people to behave the way they want them to. Look at the wedding businesses that have already been targeted since the gay marriage law went into effect. There are plenty of places for people to buy a cake in this city, but the activists have been targeting Christian businesses in order to force them to accept and celebrate their lifestyle.
Well, hey, people have to comply with the law. If a company is doing business in the public square, then they'll have to serve everyone.
There's a difference between service and participating, Bob. Would a caterer have to participate in a Nazi rally if a group like that came to them? Would a sign maker who was in favor of gun limitations have to make signs for a pro-gun event? How come the only ones who don't have the right to refuse business are the Christians?
It's very simple, Madeline. The gay rights activists have the numbers and the narrow-minded Christians don't. The public's behind the gay rights movement. Not even most Christians are behind the fundamentalists. Am I really having to explain politics 101 to you, Madeline?
You know what? I'm just going to stop talking about this. I have enough to do with everything else going on. I can't take any more of this right now.
Right. We need to focus on moving our agenda forward. There's lots of other things that affect a lot of other people. Let's just stay focused on that, and we'll deal with everything else as it happens.
I think that's a good idea. Okay, you've got a meeting this afternoon with the head of the Education Committee, Councilman Moffitt.
Mark?
Ken, come on in.
I hope I'm not disturbing you.
No, no. I was just about to take a break anyway. I've been staring at the screen all morning. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to stop by and say goodbye. This is my last day.
What? What happened?
I wouldn't sign the new employment agreement. I just couldn't do it. No employment agreement, no employment.
What? I mean, they don't even give you time to transition?
They can't have someone here who won't agree with the company's policies.
Who's going to take over?
Not sure. They just told me I couldn't be here without signing the agreement. I couldn't do it. I spent most of my time here afraid of letting people know about my faith. God's really been working on me recently, though, letting me know that I shouldn't be trusting people to provide for me. I should be trusting Him. There's no way I could agree to promote something that God hates. And I certainly don't want to make someone feel like they can live in open rebellion against God and not get in trouble for it. How could I do that to someone and claim that I care about them?
Wow. Ken. But your job.
Hey, God's taken care of me my whole life, even when I wasn't being much good to Him. He still took care of me. I have no reason to doubt Him now.
But your mortgage, your family.
If we have food and clothing, let us therewith be content. There are a lot of faithful Christians who have a lot less than I do, and God's still keeping them alive. I'm sure whatever happens next, God's going to give me and my family the strength to deal with it.
Wow, Ken, that's great. I don't know if I could do that.
Hey, Mark, you're the one God used to teach me to stand up for Him. It was seeing you stand up for God that showed me that I could do this with His strength.
Yeah, but I just had to put up with people making fun of me.
Well, or making it hard for you to do your job, or making you look like an outsider.
Yeah, but I know it's not perfect, but at least I still have a job. What are you going to do?
Oh, whatever God wants me to do. Oh, Mark, this is just great. It's just great. You don't know how happy I feel to finally be putting God first, to trust Him completely. I know our God is faithful and His plans for us are good. I'm just going to trust Him and try to be the best servant I can be each and every day. One day at a time. Each day's own evil is sufficient, right?
Yeah. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus told us not to be anxious. God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. So what do we have to be worried about?
Exactly. We just need to be obedient to God and glorify God today. God will take care of tomorrow. We just need to serve Him and be good representatives for Him each day that He gives us.
Wow, Ken, that's great. I really admire you.
Don't admire me. I know I don't have the courage to live like this on my own. God's the one who strengthens me. I'm just thankful that He's building my faith through this. I'll tell you another thing. I feel really good about standing up for Him. A few months ago, I'd have probably rationalized a reason to sign that silly agreement. I'm glad that he brought you into my life and strengthened me through his spirit so I could pass this test. This is much better than dealing with the guilt of letting him down.
Wow, Ken. That's great. God's using you to encourage me, too. Ever since I got out of school and had all that trouble finding a job, I was wondering how I was ever going to take care of myself. But maybe I've been looking at it all wrong. It isn't me that's going to take care of myself. It's God. I just need to focus on doing His will and obeying Him. He'll take care of me the way He sees fit.
That's it, Mark. Of course, we shouldn't be lazy, which you're obviously not. But we do have to get used to relying on Him and be open to His plans, even if they're not the plans that we had in mind.
Yeah. Wow. That's really great. I need to remember that. It's so easy to get caught up in our own plans.
Well, yeah, especially when you're young. You've got your whole life ahead of you, and you can't wait to do all the things you've been planning to do since you were a kid. But if you think about that, it's kind of backwards. Shouldn't we be surrendering our lives to God and asking Him what we should be doing with them? Our lives are not our own. After all, we've been bought with a price.
Yeah, that's true. But shouldn't we pursue the things that interest us? I mean, doesn't God put that in us?
A lot of it. We always have to check our motives, though. Do we want to do things out of pride so that people will praise us? Do we do them to make a lot of money and have a fancy life or be in positions of power? I don't think those things come from God.
I don't think I've done those things for those reasons. Well, maybe a little. Mostly just because I want to be able to take care of myself. I don't think it's wrong to want to be able to provide for myself and a family someday.
No, it's not wrong to want to do that. Although we shouldn't think that we can make a living without God's help. He is the one that gives us the ability to make a living. See, Mark, the question is, are we putting God first? God gives us talents and interests, certainly. But do we hone those skills and follow those interests in order to serve God or serve ourselves? If we have certain God-given abilities or interests, we should think about how we can improve those things in order to serve God. If our priority is Him, if our focus is being good servants for Him, then God will use those skills and interests at a time and in a way that will serve and glorify Him. And as far as making a living, well, God always took care of His servants. Look at the way He fed Elijah when he was despairing.
Yeah, God has all sorts of ways of taking care of us.
That's right. So I wouldn't worry too much about making a living. Don't be lazy. Keep getting better at what you're doing. Do all those things, but do them so that you're ready to serve God when He calls on you to use those things. The food and clothing part will come from Him.
I'm glad God put you in my life. It's been amazing to see how He strengthened you. It's doing a lot to build me up.
Hey, iron sharpens iron, right?
That's right. Man, Ken, what am I going to do without you here? God used you to get me this job. You've been the one person here that could understand what I've been going through. What am I going to do when you're gone?
Remember, Mark, our strength comes from God. Yes, He uses fellow believers to strengthen each other, to build each other up. But ultimately, our strength comes from Him. Just keep praying, stay close to Him, and always focus on being a good servant. He'll take care of the rest, His own way, according to His plan, and for our good, too.
Praise God, Ken. Thank you so much for this. I really appreciate you sharing this with me.
It's nice when we can share with each other the lessons God teaches us.
It sure is.
Well, I should get going. I have a few other people to say goodbye to.
Okay, Ken. Keep in touch. You have my number and my email.
I will, God willing. I'm excited to see what He's got planned for me next.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Take care, Mark.
Please help him, Father. It's incredible the strength you've given him. Please, please give me strength like that. I need help.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Susan.
What's wrong, honey?
I got reprimanded at work today.
What?
Yeah.
What did you get reprimanded for?
Hate speech and creating a hostile work environment.
What? What happened?
Well, someone at lunch the other day was talking about how great the new gay marriage law was and asked me what I thought of it. I told her that I didn't think it was good to encourage people to do something sinful.
Ooh, I'll bet she didn't like that.
Yeah, you could say that. Well, she got mad at me for saying that, and I just explained to her what the Bible says about marriage, about homosexuality, and about how Jesus can forgive us and free us from our sins, whatever they are. Well, that just made her madder.
But you told her about Jesus and forgiveness.
Yeah, but that didn't matter. She didn't like me calling homosexuality a sin.
Well, it isn't you who calls it a sin. God calls it a sin.
That's what I said to HR.
She turned you into HR over that?
Yep. She said it made her feel uncomfortable and threatened.
Threatened?
Because I talked about hell. Because I said that God tells us to turn from our sins and believe in Jesus and do what he says.
Oh, Bill.
So I was reprimanded and told not to talk about things like that at work anymore.
But she's the one who started the conversation.
I know, Susan. I know. But it doesn't matter.
So if someone asks you your opinion of something and they don't like your opinion, they can get you in trouble?
Apparently so.
That's ridiculous. What did they tell you to do the next time someone asks you something like that?
They didn't tell me anything. They're not going to be responsible for telling me to censor myself or lie about what I believe. They'll just dole out the punishment and presume I'll come to those conclusions on my own.
I can't believe it. How long have you been at that company, Bill?
Most of my working life. I'll tell you, it's not like it was when I started.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of things are changing, especially lately. Isn't this what people were warning about when this gay marriage legislation came up? That people who didn't agree with it would be labeled bigots?
Oh, but everyone assured us we'd still have our liberties. We'd never be asked to compromise our faith.
Yeah, well, that didn't last long.
They've been clamping down on things like this at work for a while now, though. Remember I mentioned that I haven't been able to be as open about my faith as I had been in the past? I guess this is just the next step.
Yeah, this gay marriage law already seems to be causing trouble. I've heard some Christian businesses have been having trouble already.
Yeah, I read about that too. I guess those people who hate God and want his people silenced finally have the weapon they've always wanted. We're bigots now, Susan, for believing the Bible. Could you have ever imagined that in this city?
I don't know how much of this city I even recognize anymore. It's been going downhill for a while now.
Yeah, things were starting to change when we got married, and by the time Mark was born, you could see big shifts taking place.
Well, everyone wanted the freedom to do their own thing. When willful, unrepentant sinners are turned over to their own desires, this is what happens.
Yep. And it seems to be picking up speed.
It makes me wonder, Bill. Is this Romans 1? Is God turning this city over to its sins because it abandoned God?
I've been wondering that more and more myself. It's hard for me to picture our city like that. We've had such a godly history. Sure, we weren't perfect, but I guess I could certainly see why God would take away his protection and restraint from this city.
Maybe this is God separating the wheat from the chaff, the true believers from those who've just been pretending all this time.
Yeah, the cultural Christians.
More like people who just tell themselves they're saved so they can quiet their conscience.
Well, we were all pretty good at deceiving ourselves before God saved us, Susan. I know I gave myself lots of reasons not to obey God.
You're right, Bill. I wasn't saved until my late teens, and I grew up in church.
Yup, we've all benefited from God's mercy. I just pray he has a little more mercy on this city.
And on us, Bill. It seems like it's getting harder and harder to be open about our faith.
Well, I guess it was only a matter of time. Other Christians have been dealing with this for a while now. I guess it's our turn to be refined by fire.
Yep, that's what I've been telling Mark. Trust God. Pray. Be open to whatever he has planned for your life, for our lives.
Yep, it looks like we're all going through some testing.
That's why it's so important for us to stay close to God and stay in his word.
Susan, do you remember when we used to have nightly Bible reading together before Mark went off to college, all three of us?
Yep, right after dinner, every night like clockwork. Why aren't we doing that anymore?
Well, it was one of those things we started doing with Mark when he was just a toddler. We wanted him to grow up knowing God's word.
I got a lot out of those nightly readings too, though.
Yeah, me too. I guess it didn't seem as important when Mark went off to college. I mean, you and I have always read our Bibles, but there's something about doing it together as a family.
Yeah, it's a good way to remember that God isn't just something our family does. God is the core of our family. He's the focus of everything we do or should be.
Yeah, I think I've dropped the ball on this one.
Well, I didn't insist on us reading the Bible together either.
Yeah, but Susan, I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of this family. It's my responsibility to make sure we're doing things like that, that we're keeping God at the center of our family. Just look at how worried Mark's been since leaving school. If his faith in God was stronger, do you think he'd be as worried? I don't think I've been doing enough around here to keep us all focused on God and trusting him to guide our family.
I think Mark's faith is pretty strong, Bill. We can all fall into weakness when things are going against us.
Oh, I know, Susan. I appreciate the way you keep reminding him to trust God. I try to do that as much as possible, too, but I think there needs to be more. We can build each other up individually, just like the Bible talks about, but there's something about a family that's bonded together in God. There seems to be a strength there. I'm not sure I can explain it.
Well, I'm all for starting our nightly Bible reading together again.
Yeah, I think we'll do that, starting tonight.
Ooh, I'm excited. Thank you, Bill.
Praise God. I'll bet Mark will be excited, too. I get the feeling we're going to need God's strength as a family to get us through what's coming. It seems like dark days ahead, Susan.
Well, bring on the trials. We've got Jesus. We've got the sword of the Spirit, and we've got each other. God's going to refine us and make us better as individuals and especially as a family.
God is good.
Yes, he is.